Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the many things you've already blessed us with this day. Now, the blessed opportunity to get back in your word once again. Help us now as we continue studying to learn from it and apply it in the right way. Draw close to you through all of it as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our series on the miracles and wonders, we last covered the miracles during the Exodus. Many wonders and miracles occurred during that, but let's jump on over to right before they enter into the promised land, shortly after the death of Moses, where Joshua gets appointed to be the leader. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, where it reads, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, to the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses." And then jump on over to chapter 3 here, and we can see the miracle of them being able to cross the Jordan, because this time of year the Jordan would have been actually over its banks because of the rains and so forth, and it would have been very difficult to be able to cross without the miracle that happens. As we see here in Joshua chapter 3, pick it up here in verse 14, it reads, "And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bare the Ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bare the Ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overflowed all its banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is, beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed." This is talking about the waters coming down, failed. All the waters backed up, in other words, and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bare the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. A miracle that they were able to come across that. Now, they were given these instructions. The Lord told Joshua what to tell them and what to do. They did it. They obeyed, and this come to be, that the river dried up, pulled back, similar to what happened at the Red Sea. And it was a miracle of God to give them safe passage over into the Promised Land, because the Promised Land was on the other side of Jordan from where they were. Now look at chapter 4 in verse 14, where we see them picking up here to actually make this move. It reads, "On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command the priests that bear the Ark of the Testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come up out of Jordan." This is right after everybody's crossed. The priests are still there. Now, they've been told to gather up some stones so that they can put it on the other side of the river and be a memorial to what took place. "Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bare the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up onto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their place, and flowed over all his banks as they did before." So the river comes right back to its original condition prior to them going into it and it becoming dry. They walked all across. All those thousands of folks walked across there. The priests come up out of it, and then he allows the water to flow again. Definitely the work of the Lord. Definitely what we could call a miracle and a wonder in the historical past that we have here, the exodus of the children of Israel from Egypt into the promised land. Now, they have a few conflicts along the way, a few battles, but one of the ones that are very miraculous is the walls of Jericho falling. So let's look at that one over in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1, where it reads, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And the seven priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him." You can imagine those witnesses that were seeing this were thinking, these guys are crazy. They're going to walk around the wall here and they're expecting it to fall. But when the power of the Lord is in it and the obedience that they were showing, then the power of the Lord was fulfilled and did exactly what he told them to do, as we see here unfolding. "And Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said unto them, Take up the ark of the covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said unto the people, Pass on and compass the city, and let him that is armed pass on before the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, when Joshua had spoken unto the people, that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of the ram's horns passed on before the Lord and blew with the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priest that blew with the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, and the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, Ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then shall ye shout. So the ark of the Lord compassed the city, going about it once. And they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord, and 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the 2nd day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on the day that compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, when the priest blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city, and the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. When ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. They followed the instructions to the T, exactly like they were told, right up to this point. Going up there, circling around, blowing the trumpets, shouting at the appropriate time, and the walls fell, just like the Lord said. And we can learn from this, when the Lord gives us some directions, some instructions, some commandments, that we need to do them exactly like He tells us. Not to alter them. Not to think, well, I got a better way of doing that. Nope, you don't have a better way of doing that. Or, oh, that's too much work. I don't want to do that. I'm going to do it this way. Nope. You better do it exactly like the Lord tells you to do it. Otherwise, it's not going to be fruitful. Simple as that. All right, there's many other exploits that we could get into as being miracles and wonders. But let's jump all the way over to a very interesting one, which is the birth of Samson, and look at some of his life. Definitely a miraculous and wondrous life. But let's look here at the announcement that comes to Samson's parents concerning his birth. Now, this is after the establishment of Israel as a nation and the establishment of judges. And during this time, we find in the book of Judges, in Judges chapter 13, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. You would think by now, with all the history that they'd had, through all the many years they'd been already in the promised land, and the different conflicts and battles, and the different judges that were lifted up, and then the troubles that they had, all that, by now they would have shaped up. By now they would have known that they need to obey the will of the Lord completely. But no, too hard-headed, too stiff-necked, too selfish. And they messed up. They wound up being delivered in the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. And in verse 2, "And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive, and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive, and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines." The not having any of his hair cut was part of the Nazarite vow. You can go back into Levitical priesthood ordinances and find that. So he was telling this couple that they are, at this time, he was just talking to the wife, but telling her that she was going to have a child and that he was going to be chosen specifically to do a task, and that was to be a Nazarite to help deliver the children of Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. In verse 6, "Then a woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told he me his name, but he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, a man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife and came to the man and sat with him. Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? That's an awesome testimony to Manoah and to his wife, that they wanted to know. They wanted to know exactly how to raise this child that would be a Nazarite, that would be a servant of the Lord. And don't you wish that everyone would do that? They would choose to have a child that they would come to the Lord and say, Lord, how would you have me raise this child? And then abide by those directions? Well, today, very few of us have an actual incarnation of an angel or the Spirit of the Lord appear before us to give us directions. I'm not saying that that doesn't happen or can't happen, but we clearly have all been given an opportunity to know what the Lord wants us to do in our lives and how to influence others in our lives, including our children. We have the Word of God. We have the influence of the Holy Ghost within us. So listen up, because He's always within you when you're a born-again Christian. He doesn't have to make a miraculous appearance before you again, because He's already in you. So listen up to Him. Listen to the guidelines. Listen to the directions that He can give each and every one of us to behave in our lives and how to turn around and share that with others around us, including our family. They did it. They listened up. They did what they were told. And we should do the same thing. Verse 13, And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. And it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it, and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, We shall surely die, because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands, neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these. And the woman bare a son, and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. So we see the miraculous revelation of the coming birth of Samson in this wondrous way that they were able to witness. And through their obedience and through their bringing him up like they're supposed to do and appointing him that task to do, that we see all the wondrous things that Samson was able to achieve and to get involved in. Was he completely obedient and faithful in his walk? Not exactly. But he still was a Nazarite. He still had a task to do, and he was still being used by the Lord to do what he originally told them there, which was that he would be given the opportunity to deliver the children of Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now we get into chapter 14 here and see some of the things that were in Samson's life that were actually being controlled by the Lord. The things that are unfolding that you might ponder or wonder, why did that happen? Why did this happen? They became doorways or of opportunities for Samson to do a work concerning the Philistines. So let's get right into chapter 14 here, and you can see how some of this unfolds. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, at this time, the children of Israel were trying to stay within the children of Israel when they come to choosing their wives. But now here you have Samson looking beyond the children of Israel to the Philistines. Verse 2. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. See, there was a purpose for this. This was that doorway of opportunity for Samson to start being in a conflict with the Philistines. Verse 5. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid, and he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. Here we see the first illustration of the power and the might that Samson was given when the Lord's Spirit come upon him. Now, today, we can look at the power that can come upon us continuously because we are indwelt with the Spirit of the Lord. We are indwelt with the Holy Ghost. Back in the Old Testament times, the Spirit of the Lord would come upon someone, giving them a special ability to be able to do a work, and then he would depart. So he'd just come upon them for a set time and then depart from them. But we have the wondrous blessing by grace of the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost that could come upon us and give us power and strength to do things that normally we could not do. When the Lord gives us a task to do, we got to know that we have the opportunity to do it, the ability to do it, the strength to do it. Whatever it is we need, we have it because the Holy Ghost is within us. When the Lord puts something in front of us to do, tells us to do it, then let's do it because it's by His power, His might, not by our own. We need to understand that we have the Holy Ghost within us continuously. All right, let's get back into this account of Samson. Look at some more of the events here in verse 8. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. That don't sound very appetizing to me, but... And he didn't bother to tell his mom and dad that, oh yeah, by the way, I got this honey out of a carcass of a dead lion I killed last time I went down this road. Verse 10. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast, for so used the young men to do. And it came to pass, when they saw him, that they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said unto them, I will now put forth a riddle unto you, if ye can certainly declare it me within the 7 days of the feast, and find it out, then I will give you 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And if ye cannot declare it me, then shall ye give me 30 sheets and 30 change of garments. And they said unto him, put forth thy riddle, that we may hear it. And he said unto them, out of the eater came forth meat, and out of the strong came forth sweetness. And they could not in 3 days expound the riddle. And it came to pass on the 7th day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle, lest we burn thee and thy father's house with fire. Have ye called us to take that we have? Is it not so? And Samson's wife wept before him, and said, thou dost but hate me, and lovest me not. Thou hast put forth a riddle unto the children of my people, and hast not told it me. And he said unto her, behold, I have not told it my father nor my mother, and shall I tell it thee? And she wept before him the 7 days, while their feast lasted. And it came to pass on the 7th day that he told her, because she lay sore upon him, and she told the riddle to the children of her people. And the men of the city said unto him on the 7th day, before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey? And what is stronger than a lion? And he said unto them, if ye had not plowed with my heifer, ye had not found out my riddle. He knew good and well what they had done. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon, and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil, and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. They ripped him off completely. He went ahead and gave them what he agreed to give them because of the riddle, but then he didn't even get his wife out of the deal. He lost that connection, he lost the friendships, he lost his wife. Which all was a trigger to motivate Samson even that much more against the Philistines. And we see some more wondrous things unfold in Samson's life, as we'll continue this next time in chapter 15, but let's go ahead and close here. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these historical events that took place so long ago. How they tell us about your power, your might, your control over the things of the history. And we know with confidence that you're controlling things now as well. Help us all to have that faith, that trust in you, to not be worried or over-concerned about the things that are going on in this world, but know that you have a power and a control over our lives as your children. Help us to yield to that power and that control and do your will in everything that we say, everything that we do. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen.